BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Adam and
Joe.
Adam and
Joe.
Adam and
Joe. Joe, 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 Joe,
Joe, Joe,
Joe,
Joe, Joe, Joe, Joe,
Joe,
Adam and
Joe, Joe,
Joe,
Joe,
Joe. You're saying a lot of Joes. There's not a lot of festive room for Adam there. Adam and Adam, 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 Adam. Now what are you singing? Adam, Adam, Adam. Adam and just riffing in his own magical wonderland there with no respect whatsoever for the tune of Jingle Bells.
Hey, listeners. My name's Joe.
My name's Adam.
Welcome to our very special seasonal podcast. First of all, we should apologise for promising to be back in November and not being back in November, like the... A lot of listeners may be upset. A lot of listeners may be indifferent.
Yeah.
But those of you who were upset, we do apologise. Basically, things got out of hand. I haven't finished my film thing yet, and it's all
How's it going, mate?
Forever. It's going all right, mate.
Yeah.
But it's ruddy hard work.
Sure it is.
And I haven't finished it yet.
Yeah.
Still got to do the last bits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been working out.
Have you?
Yeah, while you've been doing that.
I must say, I noticed.
Yeah.
I mean, you've transformed your body.
Yeah, I have,
and
yeah.
And it is sexy.
Well, I'm very, very fit now, and because I thought, you know, for a long time I've thought, well, you know, make little videos here and there and stuff like that. Then I thought, why not do some modelling?
Yeah.
And
body modelling, like proper weightlifting type.
No, sexy. Fashion.
Catwalk. Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're muscly.
Well, I've always
the thing
is that I've always thought like I'm a very handsome guy,
mm-hmm.
but a bit out of shape.
Keep talking.
So I always thought like, well, if I got really fit, then it would be very clear that I that I was very good looking, and
right.
then I could be a model.
Right.
So that was the thinking behind it. So so I've got really, really fit and I'm in good shape.
And how's it going? How's the modelling going?
Yeah, good. Yeah,
it's good. What are your latest modelling gigs?
How do you mean?
Well, have you been hired to model by anybody?
What do you mean?
Like you said you were a model. You're
physically fit. I'm a model.
You're a model.
Yeah, sure. I'm a model.
All right.
Like a fashion model?
Right. And who have you been?
Who?
No, you're because you're really physically fit. And you've shaved as well, haven't you? I mean, there's no hair on you now.
No, because I'm very slim. It would be a waste.
Be a waste of what?
To see the face. You want to see the face.
You want to see the face, but your whole body you've shaved. Totally
oh yeah,
shaved.
Yeah. Because so I can get
like,
through the water.
Like John Travolta in the sequel to Staying Alive. No, the sequel to Friday Night Boogie Time. It was called Staying Alive. He shaved it all off. Like Robin Williams in
nothing at all.
in
Eel Boy.
Baldy. Anyway, so we've got a show coming up for you. It was a show we recorded. We pre-recorded this show. It was broadcast on Christmas Day. We did our usual sort of thing. We were in the Christmas shack. We had some booze. How do you feel it went?
Well, these Christmas shows are always a little raggedy.
They're hit and miss, they're raggedy.
Yeah.
But that's all right. Christmas is a time for forgiveness.
That's true.
You know?
Although you kept saying Christmas is a time for lies.
Well, they're both tied together, aren't they? You forgive lies.
Right, so yeah, we're providing...
Christmas is a time when you can get away with pretty much anything.
Well, that's what we hope.
There's no police on the streets.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a free-for-all. Firemen are all at home.
So with that in mind, we hope you will be generous of spirit towards the following ramshackular nonsense. Here we go!
Seasonal greetings from the big British castle. Ho, 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 it's Christmas time. Adam and Joe are just arriving at the Christmas shack. Look at the ceiling, something's hanging there in black. It's Steve Lamack.
Hey, I'm Adam.
Hey, I'm Joe. Welcome to our very special Christmas special. Oh,
yeah.
Two specials in the same sentence. I've ruined this program already.
Don't worry, man. Hey, you know, it's been ages, and Joe and I have literally just turned up about 5 minutes ago here at the Big British Castle, and we deliberately have ignored each other, haven't really spoken to each other. We've saved all our chit-chat for now.
Yes.
I mean, the last time I saw you, man, was at Glastonbury.
You, man.
Gary,
is that really true?
Yeah.
Wow. How time flies.
It's a long time ago.
Long time ago.
But listen, we've just arrived in the Christmas shack.
I've changed.
You have changed.
I have changed.
I mean, I can
I'm
see
different.
You've changed. You're sexy.
There's different things about me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Am I going to find out later on in the programme?
Yeah.
I've changed too.
I'm unpredictable now.
I haven't changed at all. I'm exactly the same. But listen, I'm freezing, so let's warm up the shack, shall we? Have you got the matches?
Yeah, I've got the matches.
Bring him over here.
There they are.
Thanks very much. That's a twiglet, not a match, you
Sorry,
freak of
I
nature.
Sorry, I get confused.
Okay, here we go. I've got the matches. Here we go. Star. Just wobbling the logs there, mate.
It is chilly, isn't it?
Yeah. Close the door of the girdle. There we go. Just,
Come
actually,
on,
I can
come
strike
on.
The match off this twiglet. In
I'm
fact.
Freezing.
There we go. Ooh, steady on, mate.
You always
I
do
always
this.
Do that. When am I going to learn? I had the crackers attached to my knackers again.
Oh.
Thanks very much.
We were saving up those explosives for next year.
I know. I had to pour all the champagne over the fireball as well.
We were going to cause an incident, and now we can't.
Sorry about that. But listen, instead of champagne, because some... Why did I say that like that?
A champagne, yeah.
Champagne.
Because that's how it's correctly
I
said.
I was thinking that it might be more posher, but it came out wrongular. So instead of champagne this year, because it always makes me feel a bit acid. I don't know about you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, not really.
Not
makes
really? You just like
happy.
It? Well, I thought we'd go a different direction this year.
But then so does acid.
Right. I thought we'd go for G&Ts.
No.
In cans.
That's powerful business.
Don't you reckon?
That's powerful stoof.
Because I thought it might be kind
I
of summery.
I can't handle my G&T.
You can.
I can't.
Just sip it. I bought ice as well.
Did your mum and dad used to give you little sippies of plonkers when you were a kid?
Maybe the odd bit of wine.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, famously, European parents often give their kids sips of wine. But my mum and dad used to... My mum used to drink G&T.
Did she?
And she used to let me have a sip. And it's quite nice and sweet tasting, isn't it?
Yes.
It makes you feel very drunk. And so I like it, and I'm a bit like Obelix in Asterix and Obelix. You know, he fell into a big vat of magic potion, didn't he?
Yeah, not a G&T, though.
Yeah, but what magic potion is to him, G&T is to me.
Right, so are you worried it's going to set you off again?
It'll make me more drunk than normal.
Well, just sip it, man. Look, I've got loads of ice here.
And this is Christmas morning, Adam. I mean, we're in a very privileged situation with this programme. Christmas Day happens to fall... Christmas morning falls within our special slot.
Yes, absolutely. It's the most holy of the holy slots.
And families all around Britain will be...
Drinking G&T.
No, they'll be huddled in... They'll be huddled opening presents. I mean, it's 10 a.m. now, right? Or just gone 10.
You don't open your presents at 10 a.m, boy.
What time do you open them?
After
6
lunch.
Or 7? After lunch, do you?
Yeah.
I disagree.
Actually, do we do it after lunch? I can't remember. Maybe we do it... No, we do it after lunch.
I think any healthy liberal parent would let their kids open their presents as soon as they get up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, you can have a couple of prezzies, but you can't have the whole bang shoot.
Really?
Young man. No, because otherwise it's just ludicrous.
Why are you giving your kids bang shoots?
I'm giving them a bang shooter.
Why? They're not old enough to control bang shooters.
It's just a Nerf bang shooter. Anyway, listen. While I dole out the G&Ts, would you like one, James? There you go. Come on. And we're not encouraging people to do this kind of thing at 10 in the morning. To be honest with you folks, in the name of transparency, we are actually pre-recording this show. So this was a few weeks before Christmas, and it's late at night. In fact, it's 5 in the morning. We're in Denmark. That's not true. But it's the evening for us, so G&Ts are allowed. But you're not allowed because it's only 10 in the morning, just gone. So get yourself together, go for a jog, come back, then you can open your presents.
Oh,
jingles, Christmas jingles, where's the bells for the jingles, who need the jingle bells?
We're here in our little Christmas shack with the fire crackling. You can probably hear that in the background. And I don't know whether you know, but at Christmas it's traditional to give prezzies.
Yeah, that's true. Where does the tradition of giving presents come from, Joe?
It actually comes from...
Pretend this is QI.
The dawn of time.
The dawn of time.
So early, early man...
Yeah.
When cavemen lived in caves, they celebrated Christmas.
And they would come in with special rocks and twigs.
They would stuff gifts inside dead animals, like the carcasses of the creatures they'd slaughtered.
Yeah.
And the shopping wasn't particularly good back then, so the range of presents was limited.
Well, the MP3 players then were very primitive.
They were very primitive.
You could get only about five songs on.
Yeah, Call of Duty, it was, I think it was the very first Call of Duty was released back then, so, you know, and the it was the video game, the quality of the video games, I mean, the...
They were very blocky, like the people blocky. In them, the movements were not naturalistic.
You know? The graphics, that's the word I was looking
we're
for.
We're talking about a very primitive
graphics
time.
Were very primitive.
The graphics were very
early
primitive.
Man. And there was no sellotape, imagine.
Oh. That's me looking at the graphics thinking, oh, primitive.
Black Ops. Oh.
It's bad. That's not how it's a womble.
Anyway, so me and Adam are going to... That's not a womble.
That's not a womble.
Did he want a womble?
No, I said that's not how someone move. Looking at the guy in the video, okay.
Language was, of course, very primitive, which is why they used the word primitive to describe.
And also they had... their diet was very bad, so they were constantly clearing their throats.
They were. They were. And the Royal Mail was terribly slow back then.
That's not a nice noise to make on Christmas morning, is it?
Listen, yeah, we're going to give each other presents. We bought each other presents. What sort of rules have we bought these presents within? We used to have a budgetary limit, didn't we, of sort of a tenner?
Yeah.
But that ceiling has been smashed recent years. Someone smashed the ceiling. They stood up too quickly.
Yeah.
Have you applied any parameters to your present buying?
Well, last year you very generously gave me David Byrne's bicycle diaries.
I know, and you sent me a strongly worded email saying no serious gifts.
Yeah.
And obviously that had stuck in your mind for a year.
I loved that book, by the way. It's my lovey book. It's been my lovey book for 2010.
Well, that's a great compliment.
It's all right, man. I've read a couple of pages every time I go in there.
I can picture you reading it, and it fills my heart with...
That's interesting.
A Christmassy.
That's what I've done every day.
The stench of mince pies.
Oh, there you go.
I can smell the mince pies.
The mince pies. Anyway, listen, yes, present. Okay, so this is a kind of a...
Hey, how many presents have you got me?
Well, I've got you three. How many have you got me?
I've got you four.
Oh, well, now you've broken the rules instantly.
Only because I saw something that I just had to get you.
Well, do you want
to
start
then? I bought
then?
The first three and then I saw something that is just you through and through. I'll leave that one till last.
It's bound to be offensive. Do you want to start then?
No. You go, girl. That's what they say these days, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So this is a beautifully wrapped present. Oh, it's heavy. It's got really lovely wrapping paper.
This you know what? This is from me and James.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Really? James has, like, just raised his eyebrow in a way that suggests
in a James Bond-style way.
So this is wonderful. And it's sort of soft. It's the size of a... I don't know what it's the size of.
A
book.
No, not a
but,
book.
Oh, I think I know, might
something
know what this
much
is, actually.
Better than
is it
a
the
book.
Yeah.
Something far more precious than any book.
Well, this is a very loaded gift. Look at that.
Yeah. Joe is unwrapping a heavy Perspex obelisk.
Well, this is going to make me sound quite sort of conceited to announce what this is. It's a Adam and Joe Sony Gold Award, what we got for our show last year, was it? Was it this year? This year.
2010 has all happened since
That's
we've
amazing.
Been off the air.
What an amazing gift. Thank you very much.
What are you going to say? Come on, speech.
Thank you very much. I mean, what's the deal? I've got so many questions are going through
because
my head.
Because Joe wasn't at the Sony Awards,
I wasn't
you
at
see,
the awards.
Back at the beginning of the year. So I accepted on behalf and Chris Evans handed over the award. It was an amazingly exciting night.
It was.
And it was really sad that Joe couldn't be there. So now, come on, pretend you're up on that stage. You've got Chris Evans looking at you saying, richly deserved, he said to us, which was really
Thanks,
nice.
Chris. That's very kind of you. It seems strange holding this award whilst in the middle of this particular show. What an astounding award. And thanks very much to everybody who works on the show. Yeah? That's what I say. You see, it's a good thing I wasn't there. I'm no good at making speeches.
And I also got you something to go with it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Adam's foraging in his Buckles bag. Oh, now you're talking.
I know you're a fan.
The Top Gear calendar 2011.
You love Top Gear,
I
don't you?
I love Top Gear.
No, you seriously do, though.
No, seriously. No, seriously.
Yeah.
I love Top Gear.
I know.
Look at that. The Top Gear calendar. This is a BBC thing as well, isn't it? Look, so we're well within our rights to talk about it.
Do they put funny things on there? What kind of funny things do they put on? How have they customised it? Because it says on the front, what does it say? Look.
with added Clarkson, May and Hammond.
How do they add extra Clarkson, May and Hammond to it?
Well, they've put pictures of them in it, Oh, it's got the Lamborghini Murciélago LP670 SV. I love that car.
You do. I knew that was your favourite.
Oh, it's got James May pulling a face. It's brilliant. What a calendar.
It's good,
oh, March
it?
Is going to be a specially good month. I mean, it's been a tricky year for the Stig.
Has it?
Haven't you been reading the papers?
No.
There was all sorts of scandal about the Stig. He tried to blow his cover and publish a book.
Oh, that's right.
The BBC tried to stop him.
Yeah.
There was a court case. I mean, it's been a troubling year for Top Gear and the Stig and Top Gear fans.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that there wasn't a point behind that. I'm just bringing you up to speed.
You brought everyone down, though, haven't you?
In a magical forest sit a couple of gnomes. One is called Adam, the other's called Joe. They're doing a podcast for trees and for stones. The trees and the stones listen on headphones.
But it's not just for stones or just for trees, though of course they're the big podcast fans. It's also for Pixies and Dinosaur Jr. and other reformed indie bands. But the number one fan is the Goblin King. His name is Jared. Listen close, you can hear him sing. Was. I love Adam and Joe. Their theatricality is so superlative. I like listening with Brian Eno. But they never read my texts or made up jokes out, even though they're amusing. So what's that about? Anyway, was a was.
I wonder what David's doing this Christmas morning. What do you think Christmas in the Bowie household is like, Adam?
I would say probably around 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
A little bit of light festive miming. Followed by some superlative game of Gerard's.
Gerard's! Who do you think comes over to the Bowie household on Christmas morning?
Brian Eno.
Brian Eno. Does he join in the miming?
He refuses to do miming because it's too traditional. Instead, yes. Brian points to a huge collection of drawings of his own buttocks on the walls, each one with a different letter on it. And when he points randomly at each letter, the person playing charades has to conjure a charade-based game.
Yes. Are there gnomes?
Starting, yes.
Yes, there are gnomes. How many gnomes are there in the Bowie household on a Christmas
morning? 16 gnomes on the Christmas morning.
On the Christmas... 16. Yes, it must be 16.
16 gnomes on the Christmas...
Are there any elves?
No.
No. And is there anything? Are there gifts for the little children? And is there perhaps a little coin for Tommy the Beggar Boy?
Yes, well,
that
there is.
Bowie,
that's from Bowie's Tony Newley phase.
Yes.
And Bowie, of course, dresses up like
of course
the Pixie
he does.
King.
Pixie King, of course, he does, with his big jock
Jared.
Yes.
For one morning alone, I am Jared, and I will give you gifts only if you do my bidding.
I wish I was at Bowie's house this Christmas morning. It would be amazing.
Duncan, you will not have your gift until you have solved this riddle for me.
What's the riddle?
What?
That's a good. That's a good
in
riddle.
In my packet.
Oh dear, there's a peculiar atmosphere in the room.
It's a fun atmosphere, come on.
Hey listen, this is Adam and Joe, this is BBC Six Music. Merry Christmas morning, listeners. We're in our little shack. Oh, just outside the big British castle. And we're exchanging gifts.
Yeah.
Are we going to do some gift action right now?
Let's do a gift in a second.
Okay.
Yeah. How are you doing for refreshments, everyone? We've got some Twiglets here.
I've had a load of Twiglets.
Yeah, you happy with them?
Yeah, they're like old man's bones.
I notice you never suck them, you just crunch them right
in. No, you can't suck a crisp. They become soggy and lose their
crispness.
It's not
a crisp, it's a Twiggle. Yeah, that's the whole point.
Yeah, but it comes within the subset of crisps.
Do you know how they make Twiggles?
It's a crispy snack.
They line the Twiggles up. It's like a firing squad.
Really?
And they're nude. Like, they line up the nude Twiggles. Mm-hmm. And then, like, a guy with a high-pressure hose full of Marmite comes.
Gun.
And he sprays the heck out of those mothers. And they all fall over. Some of them don't make it. I'm not going to lie to you.
With a hose full of Marmite things.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Some of them don't make it.
Really?
But the ones that do are the best of the best and delicious.
That's like a kind of average Marmite advert.
That would be a good pitch for a wacky new Marmite ad, wouldn't it? Talking. I want a present.
Well, you're going to get one.
Hooray!
This is Adam and Joe. This is BBC Six Music. Happy Christmas morning, listeners. We've been exchanging gifts because it's traditional. And here's a present from me, Joe, to Adam.
Thanks,
Buxton.
Man. Now, you always give me good presents. That's one thing about you that I can say. I mean, you know, as a friend in many ways, you're a letdown.
Uh-huh.
But as a present giver, you are pretty much second to none. Intelligent, thoughtful, creative, surprising. I'm unwrapping the gift, as you can hear. This is a flexi book. It's a flexi book. It's about the size, you know, it's A4 magazine, but it's a hard spine. What have we got here? Oh.
Now, I've been observing your guitar skills.
Oh, yeah.
Because Adam's quite a good guitar player. I can't help that you're a bit stuck in the past.
I am a little.
With your Neil Young and your Bowie and your 60s and 70s repertoire. So I've decided to give you a gift that brings you slap bang into the noughties, which is the last decade I know, but it's better than the 60s and 70s.
And it is Lady Gaga, the Fame Monster guitar tabs.
Here's a guitar. I've had it specially brought into the studio, an acoustic guitar. And I'd like you to choose a Lady Gaga song.
All right.
And during the records, for the next hour and a half or so, I'd like you to practice it.
All right.
And then at the end of the show, I'd like you to play us out with a Lady Gaga song.
Does it matter that I don't really
You've got the music there.
Yeah.
You don't need to have heard it. Do you? You just read the music. You've got the music, the lyrics, you've got everything you need to perform a Lady Gaga song.
Alejandro. Have you actually got this album?
No.
No, of course you don't. You're not insane.
Yeah, you know Alejandro, right? You know that one.
Obviously, I know Alejandro. I know,
why obviously, though?
I know Dance
Why obviously?
In the
That's
dark.
Not even the big hit. The big hit is Bad Romance or whatever it's called.
Telephone is the big hit, isn't it?
I don't know. That's Bad Romance is the one they sing. Is that Bad Romance? That's the one they sing on The X Factor the whole time.
I don't know Bad Romance.
That's all you need to know.
Telephone? How is Telephone going to sound on the acoustic guitar?
That's the idea.
I don't know A sharp.
You've got your work cut out for you. Are you nervous?
F minor?
I mean, there's millions listening.
I know D, G and A.
You've got everything you need to do a cracking performance. Are you going to do Telephone? Have you selected that then?
I think I'm going to have to try Telephone.
All right.
Sure, yeah.
Adam's really great and he's wonderful. Joe is really, really, really brilliant.
They're fantastic.
But which one is the best? It's Joe.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music on a lovely Christmas morning.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, even on Christmas Day, I find it hard to be entirely uncynical about the world. Christmas is the traditional time when I present my list of things that annoy me to my family.
Brilliant. They must love that and look forward to it.
Before I give out any presents at all, I stand in the middle of the room like a kind of musing comedian from Mock the Week, and I unfurl a large piece of paper and I say, you know what winds me up? And then I sort of go on for a while. I mean, they're genuinely things that wind me up.
You're going to do that now?
Yeah.
Wicked.
Because it's Christmas Day, that's what I do.
Have a bit of gin and
do you never do that? Is that not a tradition in your house?
Yes.
The worsties list.
The worsties list.
How's your worsties list getting on?
Cornballs. In the Cornballs household, there's no worsties list.
Is there not?
There's a besties list, a loving list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On my worsties list this year, right? And I added quite a few things to my worsties list this year. One of them, a minor worstie, was the opening title montage from The Apprentice with Alan Sugar saying, I'm not interested in any steady eddies or cautious carols. What's a cautious carol? He just made that one up. Obviously, it barely alliterates, though. I mean, it's a C.
And it's sexual equality.
All right. But I just got sick of hearing about it every steady eddies or cautious carol. Like, they never varied the montage at the beginning. It drove me insane, ladies and gentlemen. We love you. That's the audience going crazy for my appearance on Michael McIntyre's Comedy Road Accident. Here's another thing that winds me up, right? Come on, this is good
stuff. It's good. I like it. Go, give us another one.
And this is a genuine thing that happened to me at Legoland, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a very long queue. We got there just at the wrong moment, literally queuing for 1 hour. Then when we were right at the front, just about to buy our tickets, because we'd made the mistake of not buying them online, they open up a new window right next to us. So we go over to the next line,
yes.
But loads of people had crammed in there before us. We ended up further back than we were before we switched.
No, that's like what happens at banks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens in all sorts of situations. That's what makes my story so very enjoyable.
Yours has got a Legoland twist.
Exactly.
Can you put a Lego twist on the story? Because I'm going to be brutal. It feels like quite a sort of old observation about queuing at banks. But the thing that's new about it... Listen, stay with me. I'm not being nasty. The thing that's new about it is the Lego-ness. So just put a little Lego twist on it.
Like what? How do I put a Lego twist on that?
Were the booths made Lego-shaped? Were they Lego-shaped?
No.
No.
It was just booths.
Okay, nothing I can do.
I tripped over some blocks. Is that the kind of thing you're thinking?
There you go.
I was scrambling for the shorter queue, but I tripped over some blocks.
That's it. It's got a Lego spin. Yeah. Is Legoland good?
The best part of Legoland is the, world, bits of the world constructed from Lego.
Yes, well, that's the old school area. That's been there for years.
That's
the rides are a new development. Yeah. I would want all elements of the rides to be made out of Lego.
Still going about Lego.
Sorry.
My list is very long. I mean, it's going to be going right through the show, my worsties list, because people love this kind of thing. I'm telling you.
Sting.
Time for another present, though. We're exchanging gifts.
brown tinsel.
You didn't have to say it again. That's where you're
leaving. We're exchanging gifts because it's Christmas, and I've just given Adam the guitar tab book for Lady Zsa Zsa's... what's the album called?
Poo Pants.
Bad Poo Pants, whatever it's called. Yeah. He's going to be learning how to play the track Telephone on the acoustic guitar and singing it. We'll be hearing that towards the end of this show. There's so much to look forward
to.
I'm on my second tin of G&T.
The Fame Monster.
The Fame Monster. Of course it's called that.
The Fame Monster. She loves the Fame Monster. She loves to be chased by it. Chase me, Fame Monster. That's what she's like. Anyway, there you go. There's your gift.
Oh.
Gift number two.
Gift number two from Adam to me. Look at this. It's wrapped in... Well, it looks like the Daily Mail.
Yeah, that's because it is, boy.
Did you buy the Daily Mail?
No, I wrapped that round at my parents-in-law's house.
Good. Unwrapping now. It's a book. I mean, it's definitely a book.
Sure, it's a big, expensive book.
It's a big, expensive book. Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, now this is quite good. This is the Keith Richards book, Life. I've been watching him, like I watched him on The Late Show a month or so
ago. Interviewed by,
being interviewed
Jim
by
Jim Fix-It.
Yeah, Herbert McWeeny.
Dixon Weenie.
Dixon McDotGreen. He's a weighty interviewer, isn't he? I mean, he thinks he's still on Monitor, doesn't he? He's the last remaining fragment of 60s BBC. What's his name? He's a lovely guy,
Andrew Graham
apparently.
Dixon.
Lauren speaks very highly of him.
Yeah.
But
he used to be the arts correspondent on the Culture Show and is now sort of spreading his
You can't help sort of
talents.
Thinking he was cryogenically frozen in 1969.
He does have
now
that kind of
haircut.
Now
he's been defrosted. And Keith Richards came across in that interview as quite a fascinating chap.
Yeah, he was very articulate.
This seems like quite a serious gift.
Nah.
I mean, I guess it's got bouncy anecdotal qualities, right?
It's not a serious gift. It's a ridiculous
gift. You read it?
Yeah.
And have you picked out some Beatles?
I've listened to the audiobook, which I recommend you do if you're interested. Because, A, it's more easy than reading.
Who done it, read it? Is it Keith himself done reading
it? Well, here's the thing. It's a selection of people reading it.
No.
Because Keith would absolutely not be able to. It's a big book. I mean...
Because they can't take it, can they? They get a few pages in and they just can't take
it.
They can't believe
it. Especially not Keith. I mean, some of the stories in there are going to curl your toes. But... It is, I mean, the audiobook itself is about 17 hours. I mean, it's ludicrous. So here is a clip of one of the narrators. Let's see if you can guess who it is.
Nothing like a good 10-15 minutes of pubescent female shrieking to cover up all your mistakes. Or 3,000 teenage chicks throwing themselves at you. Or being carried out on stretchers. All the bouffants awry. Skirts up to their waists, sweating, red, eyes rolling. That's the spirit, girl.
Sorry.
That's the way we like them.
That was the wrong clip. That's about me.
3,000 teenage girls.
Yeah, but who was reading that then?
Huey from the Fun Loving Criminals.
Yes. No, it wasn't. It was Johnny Depp. Who was like Huey from the Fun Loving Criminals.
Sort of the same.
So the audiobook starts off with Depp in command, and he does a fairly, as you could hear there, fairly sort of sober read, fairly flat. But, you know...
They're close chums, aren't they? I mean, they're
in
the Pirates of the Caribbean
films. Of course,
films.
You know, notoriously Johnny Depp modelled his performance. On him, and then Keith turned up to play his dad in one of the films, didn't he? But then, about halfway through, seemingly at random, the narration duties are taken over by one Joe Hurley. Have you ever heard of Joe Hurley?
No.
Well, I think he is apparently, from looking online, a New York singer-songwriter. He's in a kind of a Celtic rock band called The Gents. That's a good name for a band, isn't it? Name your band after a lavvy. Mm-hmm. and here, and I don't know if this is really the way Joe Hurley speaks or if he's doing an accent, if he's trying to approximate Keith's accent or what, but this is how he comes out.
Fleet Street and Andrew Oldham provide our new popular image. Long-haired, obnoxious, and dirty. Mick and I write a song we can give the Stones. I write Satisfaction in my sleep, and we have our first number one.
Well, you know why that is. Because his real speaking voice is like this. And they've had to slow him down.
They had to slow it right down.
Down to that. That's weird. It sounds like he's been recorded on an analogue, you know, reel-to-reel tape recorder that's got a bit of a problem.
I mean, I think he must be doing some kind of accent. Here's another very brief clip of Joe Hurley in action.
It was soon after that that I picked up a Smith & Wesson 38 special. It was the Wild West. Still is.
Slightly West Country there as well. I mean, you're only allowed to read Keith's words if you've been pretty much maimed by drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Well, of course, the king of all Keith Richards impressions was Phil Cornwell, who did an amazing impression on Stella
Why
Street.
Why didn't they get him to do it then?
Yeah, I don't know. But instead, at the very end, you get Keith himself. And Keith starts, like, you can tell that they've only been able to do like 10-minute chunks with Keith before he gets tired.
That's all Keith can do, 10-minute chunks.
Yeah. So here's sort of relatively perky Keith.
Aside from poaching, which I haven't done since then, I lead a gent's life. I listen to Mozart, read many, many books. I'm a voracious reader. I'll read anything. And if I don't like it, I'll toss it.
He's not talking about books, is he?
No.
No. No.
But then he gets tired. He gets tired and it gets a little bit late and things start to slow down.
He doesn't specify the books. I mean, it could just be the Mr. Men books.
He does. Yeah, absolutely.
In an ongoing cycle.
He'll read anything. His favourite, early Lawrence Arlott. Charlie and Lola.
It's suddenly gone quite posh.
If I don't like... No, but he is. That's the secret of Keith, is that he is.
Is it?
He is kind of posh. Anyway, here's another little clip where he's a little bit more tired.
It wasn't too long after Mick's ribbon cutting that he called me to say, I've got to tell you this now. Tony Blair is insisting that I accept a knighthood. It was incomprehensible for Mick to do it. He'd blown his credibility. I rang Charlie. What's all this about a knighthood? He said, you know he's always wanted one. I said, no, I didn't know. It's never occurred to me.
No. No.
I didn't know.
I didn't know.
Anyway, so I thought half the fun of getting you this book, rather than just the audiobook, would be for you to do your own narrations, right? You to do your... Because it's a fun thing to do. Everyone should have a Keith impression in their locker, right?
All right, I'm ready now.
Turn to page 173. There's a little bit there about writing or recording the last time, which might be interesting.
The last time was recorded during a magical period at the RCA Studios in Hollywood. Work was always intensely hard. The gigs never finished just because you got off stage. Let's go back to that. Kind of right.
That's more or less what it's like. Let's have a go.
Have a go.
Okay. Because you know, I think it helps to kind of pretend that you're on the lavvy. Yeah.
That's my Pierce Brosnan technique.
The grunting.
That was a magic discovery, but so were these riffs. No, that's a bit too fruity, isn't it? That's turning into... Who is that now?
That's like Leslie Phillips.
No, that's David Frost I'm turning into now. I think Keith and David Frost are quite similar. These crucial, wonderful riffs that just came. I don't know where they came from. I'm blessed with them and I can never get to the bottom of them. When you get a riff like Flash, you get a great feeling of elation.
It's worse than mine. Wicked. I've never been happier.
Wicked glee. Of course, then comes the other thing of persuading people that it's as great as you actually know it is. You have to go through the poo-poo. Flash is basically satisfaction in reverse.
Wow.
Yeah?
Is it a good book? Are there, like, shocking stories? Like, I read the Motley Crue one.
Oh, yeah.
What's the most awful thing you've come across?
So far... I mean, sort of casual references to having leprosy at one stage, I can't figure out if he's being serious
Halfway
or not.
Halfway home, I realised my legs weren't there. They'd fallen off in the studio and I'd gone halfway across Manhattan in the cab without realising.
Yeah.
And suddenly I was playing a riff to give me shelter and my finger just popped right off.
I knelt down.
It fell into Mick's mouth. I knelt down to bow before the Queen. I was jolted with a cold jolt of realisation that I still had a whole syringe in my forehead. Nita Pallenberg came and she was sucking on my toes while I was she's the Queen. And the Queen was looking at Nita and... She said, oh, Laura, Laura, blinda data.
Oh, yeah, so funny, I forgot to laugh.
Now, Christmas is, of course, the season of the tramp. I'm thinking of...
It's the season of the witch.
The jolly tramp.
Ah, Santa.
From the North Pole. And I'm like the anti-Santa in some ways, because, you know, I've got a little black beard and I'm like a little gnome.
And you come into people's houses and take their presents and away. You stamp on them, don't you?
I steal their presents, yeah. But in other ways, I'm like a tramp too. And this has been, I was thinking about it the other day, this has been one of my trampier years in some ways. Had a couple of incidents that really made me think, boy, I'm pretty much just a tramp.
Mm-hmm.
One was when I was doing a gig the other day in Norwich, a bug show. And that's a show where I show music videos and chat in between. And while one of the music videos was playing, I was up on stage tapping away on my legs like that with my hands, right? But I had a cut on one of my fingers and it started to bleed onto my trousers, ooh, which were light-coloured. So when the lights came back up, I looked down and I realised that my trousers were covered in blood. And so I was then presented with the problem of what I was going to say to the audience about this, because at some stage I'd have to stand up. And they would be thinking, why has he got blood all over his trousers?
How much blood was there?
Quite a bit, like more than you would expect, because I was really tapping away. The blood really pumps out your little finger when you're tapping. Mm. So I thought, what am I going to do? What would you have done? Would you have not mentioned it and sidled out? But there was no way I could hide it.
What colour were the trousers? Were they pale trousers?
Yeah, they're like the ones I'm wearing today.
I probably would have just hit them with the truth.
Well, that's what I did. I hit them with the truth. I said, listen, I was tapping away there and I've got blood all over my... But they went all quiet. The audience went quiet and because they thought it was weird, which it was. And I felt very naked, you know, and I felt mental in front of them. I felt like I'd
naked
revealed
and mental. That's
myself.
Sexy.
Here's another incident which was less mental but more tramp-like.
Yeah.
And maybe I made a bad judgment call on it as well. I was in the on the train heading to London and I went to the lavatory cubicle there and I was going to wash my hands at the end of the exercise. And first of all, I put soap from the dispenser on my hands and then I went to rinse it off. No water in the tap, right? So I'm pressing the little stud there. There's no water coming out whatsoever. Absolutely nothing. So I think, oh, what am I going to do? Because my hand's covered in this stinky gunk. So I tried to sort of wipe it off, maybe get the tissues and wipe it off. But it was so sticky. There was no question of me being able to go back in that state. So I was like, well, what am I going to do? There was not even drips coming out of a tap. So what do you do? What would you do?
Wipe them on my... probably wipe them on the bum of my trousers.
No, because they're still going to be sticky. This is what I'm saying.
I don't know. What did you do?
Wash them in the lavvy.
You wash them in the toilet bowl. What was the state of hygiene of the bowl?
Well, look, I didn't dip it right in the bowl. I'm not totally unbalanced.
Where was
unbalanced.
This again?
This is on the train heading from Norwich to London, right? And there was no... And I went to another lav as well. There was no water in any of the toilet cubicles, right? So I didn't dip them right in there, yeah, because I'm not crazy.
Is there any, you know, what's the alternative
to
dipping
flushed.
Them?
I flushed the lav.
Lovely.
And so I just ran my hands
like
under
the... Like a sort of beautiful Tahitian waterfall.
Exactly. I mean, that stuff's pretty good. You can drink
you
it
should have
you
just
want.
Jumped and dived on in there.
Well,
like Renton in Trainspotting.
But as I was doing it, obviously I had some qualms. I had a number of qualms.
Yeah.
But I was thinking...
As long as you didn't have any plops.
I was thinking, is this the lowest I've sunk? Is this... Do I get a tramp card now? Do I get invited to any tramp parties? But what do you do? I mean, is that... Someone
what
else
do
must
you
have...
do? I tell you what you do is you go to the buffet.
Uh-huh.
And you purchase a bottle of still water.
Right.
And then you go back to the Lulu.
Yeah.
You pour the bottle of
too
still
cheap.
Water over
I was
the
too
hat.
Cheap
too
for
cheap.
That. Too
straight
cheap.
To the lavvy.
You have $1.50 for a bottle of water. Straight to the lavvy, boy.
Adam and Joe. Adam and Joe. Adam and Joe. The podcast. Adam and Joe.
Touch me.
Adam and Joe.
No, not
Adam and Joe.
Would I like a present? Yes, I would. Is that too greedy?
No, it's good.
Like, what? How greedy are you around about Christmas time?
Great question, Ad. Not very.
You're not?
No, not very.
Do you never stuff yourself?
Oh, with food?
Yeah, that's greed.
Not really, no. I've got a tiny tum-tum.
Have you?
A little tum-tum.
Never overeat?
Can't get a
lot
in.
You're not a big overindulger?
No, I don't know.
I don't think I've ever seen you overindulged. Except
in private.
Emotionally, yeah.
Yes. Here's a prezi for you. It might be small, but boy, is it powerful.
Oh, thanks.
I like a stinky stone.
Look at this. What have we got here? Oh, yes, it is. It's wallet-sized.
Just to bring listeners up to speed, it's Christmas, and as a result, we're exchanging presents.
Yeah, this is our traditional gift exchanging thing, and it is a small book, mm-hmm. the kind of thing you find next to the counter in all disreputable shops, and it is called Body Language, How to Understand the Unspoken Language of the Body.
So this is, I'm like giving you a key.
Thanks,
man. I'm like giving you the gift of... interpreting body language.
Right. This is the kind of thing that Darren Brown is very good at doing and has made a career out of.
When people communicate or enter a space with another person, they are giving away all sorts of things about themselves without knowing it.
Uh-huh.
By the physical position they're in, by the gestures they make, by the expressions they put on their face.
Look at this. The five spatial zones.
Yes.
Students of human behavior have identified five concentric spatial zones affecting behavior. The close, intimate, personal, social.
The close, intimate.
Right.
So read them properly.
The close, intimate, personal, social, and public zones.
Yes. And do they have exact measured distances?
Yeah, they appear to. It doesn't actually give you, like... you know, numerical values.
Mm-hmm.
But, you can see that the public zone is really very wide, but the close intimate zone and the intimate zone are very close together. I'm someone that doesn't like people really to penetrate anything but the public zone.
Now, what sort of distance is that? A couple of meters, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, so members of the general public can't come closer than a couple of meters.
I don't really like it. How about you? You're not someone that invades people's intimate zones, are you?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes, when they're asleep.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
Are you tactile? I can't really... You're not very tactile.
It depends who's tactiling me.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one. I've taken the book from Adam now because he's not ready for it. This chapter is called Conversational Gazing. Exactly where people look when they talk to each other gives clues to the kind of relationship they have, as the examples below show. During a normal friendly conversation, each person's eyes generally focus on the part of the other individual's face between the mouth and eyes. So normal conversation, my eyes would go between...
The nose, in other words, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, the eyes and the mouth. It's, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be the nose.
Yeah. An experienced negotiator might give a conversation a purposeful air by focusing on the other person's forehead.
What about the eyes? I look
and
at the
eyes. And eyes.
Not around the eyes?
In an intimate conversation between potential sexual partners who are at close quarters...
Waffles.
The gaze may range from eye level... down to chest level.
Ooh.
So he's popping a glance at the old tots.
That's all right, though. Everyone does that.
Is that secret?
Especially if they're out on display. What about, you know, I'm not very good at hiding my discomfort sometimes in body language situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I am easily like, when I lie or if I'm being insincere, I always do things like look away. you know what I mean?
Dude.
Like I can't hold a person's gaze.
This is the chapter that's key, though, the chapter on courtship.
Shouldn't have told you that.
And it basically, you'll find this useful, it breaks down courting signals.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things to look out for in a lady
who
might find you attractive. Courting
signals. Is that one of them?
The woman might fiddle with a cylindrical object, such as a pencil, a cigarette, or a wine glass stem. That means she wishes to caress the man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, here's another one. The woman might stand or sit with her legs apart.
What?
The meaning or the intention signaled sexual excitement.
Does it really?
Oh, I can't read this on Christmas.
Well, that, I mean, what kind
it's
of...
It's too fruity
It doesn't
for Christmas.
Take a genius to interpret that one, though, does
hey.
It? The woman might
hey, don't
suddenly
forget this
pop
is a
off
present.
Her top. The meaning of this subtle signal is that she is
it's
ready
too
for
dirty
you to
for Christmas. That chapter,
her presence.
Anyway, good gift. You like it?
That's great, man. You got me a little filthy book.
I mean, it's not filthy, but it's full of useful information.
Obvious information.
I thought this was going to be a laughter firecracker. It's turned into a damp squib. It's too involved. There's too much to read and process. It's a disaster!
It's brilliant, man. I love it.
I've even marked pages with humorous things on it with little green post-its.
Come on, they're great.
Read one out.
Look at this. It's all about the difference between real smiles and false smiles.
We've discussed this even in the past.
Yeah, exactly. Are you a good fake smiler? No. No, you are quite a good
one.
Fake smiler.
What's the difference between a fake smile and a real smile?
Well, a real smile is of a certain strength. A fake smile may be of an incorrect strength.
That book's BS.
A fake smile may appear far too quickly or far too slowly. You mean I just get a fixed grin on my face if I'm in any kind of social situation. Yeah, like a rictus. But I think it's a convincing rictus.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
sometimes I can feel it cracking and I can see my eyes deadening. You know what I mean?
What a great gift.
Yeah, that's a great gift. Thanks, man. And it's a very handy size
so
as well.
So handy.
Because I can pop it right in the bin and it'll fit really easily.
If you're in a confusing social situation, you can... pick it out of your pocket and refer to it.
Exactly. Hang on just one second.
That woman's sitting with her legs wide apart, stroking a pencil and staring at me.
With
what does
top
it
off.
Mean? With her top off. Hold on a second, love. Give me a minute.
All right, here's another podcasting. Breaking up the chat with some music. Yeah, we got this thing off GarageBand. But it's free, you know, anyone can use it.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six
Do you want
Music.
A cracker, mate?
Oh yes, mate. Happy Christmas, everybody. We're here in the big
Combo
British
Paul.
Castle in our little shack, and we've got some mini crackles.
One, two, three.
Oh, we did a double.
Oh, that's perfect.
I got one.
Joe got
a prezi.
Got one.
I have to say, did you buy these crackers, Adam?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
they look low price.
No,
oh,
they're luxury
but look at
crackers.
That golf tees.
You got golf tees, perfect because you love your
I
golf.
I love golf.
You love your golf.
Do you know what I'll do? I'll probably just stick them in the lawn for the sheer pleasure. It's like putting thumbtacks in a wall.
Yeah. I got a little mini opener, and that's good because I love booze. You love drinking. Someone tramp.
On go the party hats. It's noonish, isn't it, now? So a lot of people will be heading lunchwards.
What's your joke, mate?
See if you can guess the punchline.
Okay.
What happened to the hyena who swallowed an OXO cube? Now, you should be able to figure that out.
She got...
What happened to the hyena?
Yeah.
What do hyenas do?
Laugh.
That swallowed an OXO cube. What's OXO cube? What do you make with an OXO cube?
Gravy.
Yeah, another word for gravy.
Soup.
No.
What is it?
Stock. Stock.
She became a laughing stock.
Yes.
But I thought it was going to be...
He made a laughing stock of himself.
Oh. I thought the punchline was going to be, he felt a little Bovril.
Ask me your one.
Okay. How does good King Wenceslas like his pizza? Come on. If you don't know that one.
On the feast of Stephen. Stephen!
I got Stephened in the street yesterday.
Yeah.
It's a surprise to still be being Stephened. So how does
deep and crisp and even?
Of course,
of course.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Yeah. You got loads of presents for me still, right?
I do. I've still got two.
Yeah.
Do you want the big one or the small one? And size is no indication of merit. Don't go drawing conclusions from the sheer scale of the gift.
I would like. Well, the last one I had was small, so let's have a big one.
Let's have a big one. There's a big one.
A big one.
Now you're gonna like this.
Oh,
if it's anything like as successful as the body language book, then we're in big trouble.
It's about the size of a box of tissues, ladies and gentlemen, and about the same weight. And I would say that there's a plastic case on there. Is it an action figure? I bet that's my guess. Have I guessed right?
Maybe.
It is an action figure. And it's John Lennon, the New York years. Wow. Because I love playing... I love playing John and Yoko with all my toys.
Tell us about... Tell us about it. Describe it.
This will be fun. Yeah, so it is, a plastic...
And it's a tall figurine, isn't it? That's got to be about 20, 25 centimetres.
Yeah, it's big. As I said, you know, the size of a box of man-sized tissues. So it's pretty big. And if you imagine an action figure that fills that kind of capacity plastic box...
And Lennon in the New York years, what kind of a man was he in that period of his life?
He was rocking the blue denim look, blue jeans. He had that white T-shirt with New York written on
it. His arms
are
folded, aren't they? He's defiant.
Absolutely, very much.
He had split from the Beatles.
Had a lot of hassle with immigration, but he'd finally settled in New York.
Living his own life.
Spending his time in the Dakota building, where, of course, he was to tragically end his life some years later.
And as well as the figure, it comes with an accessory, doesn't it?
Oh, it's a wall. That's the accessory, is it?
It's a piece of authentic New York wall.
But is this one of these action figures that it looks very much as if you're...
Got anything sharp, James?
You can't actually... Joe's stabbing the box right now.
Trying to get inside.
It looks like one of those kind of action figures that you can't really move. Like, it's more of a model. I wouldn't say it's... Does it call itself an action figure, even?
I don't know. It's probably a figurine. It's a collectible.
Yeah. Because it's...
It's valuable.
Yes, it's a model, really, rather than an action figure. It's the kind of thing that you would... What would you do? You would stand it on your mantelpiece next to all your other... Next to your Beatles albums, maybe, and you could use it as a CD bookend kind of thing.
Adam's now assembling it. He's attaching the section of New York wall to a small stand.
Okay, and it's got two little... Bobbles where you stick his Lennon's feet in.
It's very moving, isn't it?
Well, not literally. It actually literally doesn't move. And when you stand him up, oh look, he's standing sort of rakishly.
He's got a lot of tood.
He's got a load of tood. I mean, one of his hands looks a little spare there. Thanks, man. I mean, I don't know what to tell you because you know, I'm a big Beatles fan. I love John Lennon. And you just went ahead and got me a model of John Lennon.
That was cheap.
That means a lot. Oh, look, his head moves round.
Sure it does, all the way round.
You can move it right
round.
Looking
the wrong way. I tell you what it says on the bottom of this John Lennon figurine. It says, copyright 2006, Yoko Ono Lennon.
Really?
Yeah.
So she owns every image of John.
She owns likenesses.
Yeah.
Would you be happy if you died and your wife was left in total control of your image?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. I mean, she'd probably do a better job than I would.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, Yoko does okay, doesn't she?
She does do okay.
There's not too much goofy stuff of John around apart from this one item, which is ludicrous. But no, thanks, man. That's a nice little thing.
Disappointing? Admit it if you're a bit disappointed.
Not in the least.
I mean, it would be good for this show to reflect a certain amount of disappointment on Christmas, because let's face it, for kids, sometimes prezzies can be disappointing. Uh-huh. And it's an important rite of passage to learn to deal with that kind of thing.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest with you. This is something that I will never throw away. I mean that. But I'm never, ever going to do anything with it. It's just going to sit there on my shelf next to all my kind of SpongeBob SquarePants merchandise.
You could give it to the kids. They might enjoy playing with it.
Yeah, what are they going to do?
Imagine the adventures.
I'm John Lennon. All right.
It could, for, to them, it's just a random guy with glasses.
I'm going on a lost weekend. Great.
It could be worth a lot when the new Yellow Submarine movie comes out.
What's going on here, Paul? I've written a song. Oh, it's, I'm doing a cover of Stand By Me, Paul.
Dr. Robert there by the Beatles. They're a good band. Don't know, have you heard of the Beatles?
No, I'm not really into the Beatles.
What's your problem with the Beatles?
Heard much of it.
Well, you should watch X Factor. They had them on there the other day.
I will.
And they were good. Everyone was singing their Beatles songs. Yeah. They did them really well, I thought.
Yes.
You know what I'd like to see on X Factor is a Bob Dylan one. Because they did a Bowie special the other day. And that was quite, you know, moving.
Did they?
Yeah, they had they were singing Heroes.
Really? Was Bowie present?
No, Bowie was not present.
You see, that's the difference between him and other artists.
Which other artists have turned up for their specials?
Well, that's a good question, isn't it?
We I mean, Elton to... John wouldn't have turned up, would he?
Maybe nobody turns up.
McCartney turned up famously.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah.
Did he?
He turned up, but Bowie didn't turn up. I'd like to see them doing a Bob Dylan special.
Uh-huh.
I think that would be very good. And, you know, there's a lot of classic tunes there that they could really murder in an entertaining way.
It's a good context for protest, isn't it, The X Factor?
It is.
It's a switched-on show. It's very politicised.
It's a politically charged
it's
forum.
It's a politically charged forum. And it's the ideal place for Bob to put forward some of his more controversial and provocative sung poems.
Don't call him Bob, though.
Bob, why not?
He doesn't like Bob.
That's his new name for the Nintendo generation.
That's demeaning.
It's not demeaning. It's empowering.
But listen,
hey,
what?
These old-time stars... they're desperate for a bit of the X Factor glitter.
Yeah.
They'll do anything.
I like it when you say hey at the beginning of your sentences.
Do
you
do that? It means I don't know what to say. Hey.
Do you do that in your life?
Yes. Hey. You just think it engages the audience and then you've got them and then you just have to quickly think of
it. But it means that you're going to say a thought though, doesn't it? You don't say it before like, hey, could you pass me that cereal?
No, sometimes I might do that.
See?
Hey. Yeah. It's just a fun, upbeat word.
Hey. Crusader.
Yeah.
Have you any nuts?
I've got mixed nuts and raisins.
Salted cashews. So anyway, back to Bobo Dylan, right?
Yeah.
Bob, if you remember, released a Christmas album last year, right? We had lots of fun with it on this show. Oh, here's a little snatch, if you don't mind me saying, just to remind you.
Adman, it's Christmas.
Sorry.
Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire. The face on the face. The plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland.
In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he's a circus clown.
So there you go. That's old Bob with his special old Bob voice doing a bit of Christmassy sing-songery there. So here's a track that was not included on the album. This is exciting, Joe, because it's an exclusive. It's an exclusive.
Wow.
That I'm going to play you now. And no one has ever heard this before, right? Are you ready for brand new...
What is it? It's an old classic?
It's it's a new song that he's just written. It's all about television ads at Christmas.
Right.
Have a listen.
There are ads that are meerkat-based, loved by the nation. And the Halifax ads in the radio station. But do you recall the most wonderful adverts of all? Television ads at Christmas, festive advertising fun, kicking off around October, bringing happiness to everyone. All of the famous people are coming out to sell you stuff. please give them all your money, 'cause times are getting kinda tough. Peter Kay is clowning round with Twiggy and Danny Minogue. Ellie Goulding sings your song, it sounds like it's gone slightly wrong. Here's a brilliant Russell Brand book, and one by Michael McIntyre. They should keep you nice and toasty if you stick them on the fire. He's the king of comedy, don't you know? Look at all the supermarkets, look at all the crap they stock. Look at Jamie Oliver bouncing round, he's a total Christmas man. Selling you a giant turkey, he's selling you some booze and pies. Don't worry about your waistline, Santa really likes big thighs. Soon it will be Boxing Day with ads for all the sales. Then the new year after that with diet ads, 'cause we're so fat. Right now I'm so very happy, like I am when I watch Glee. Watching all the festive adverts and dancing round my Christmas tree. Oh, my baubles.
He fell over.
And smashed his baubles.
He smashed a couple of his Christmas baubles.
You know what that makes me think? That song. It makes me think, does Dylan enjoy Christmas? Is he having a happy Christmas? Maybe he should watch less telly. It sounds as if the adverts are dragging him down.
I can't tell. In that Bob Dylan song, if he likes the adverts or if he's annoyed about them.
I think he's annoyed by them.
Why?
Well, he can't stop watching them because they're so beautifully produced and they're so loud.
You know, I personally enjoy the Christmas adverts, don't you?
Yeah, I guess I do. There's a lot of feuding parties going on, aren't there? I mean, everyone's having a party.
Sure.
Little Woods are having one. M&S are having one.
Well, there was a big party, was the Take That party a couple of years back.
Yes, but now everyone's doing it. And of course, Iceland have one as well, don't
sure.
they? I mean, and they have different sorts of food at different parties, depending maybe on the socioeconomic bracket that the party holder lives in, don't they? I mean, it's true. I mean, M&S, that's a posh party.
Yes.
And they've got less food.
You're probably going to have your Stephen Fry's there, Jennifer Saunders.
Erudite Company, a large country house.
Yeah, book-lined shelves.
Yes, warm log fires.
Whereas your
Iceland party, I mean, Jason Donovan in some tights.
Yeah, of course, not to impugn the food in any way whatsoever.
Not at all. There's no value judgment being made here. And they have a lot more food. They have a lot more food at the Iceland party. It's like they're trying to overcompensate for something.
Well, because the standard of conversation is not so high, you're saying.
Do they have to fill their... No, I thought maybe they can't afford a lot of food most of the year round. So having a lot... A very cheap food makes everyone feel more festive.
You're on shaky ground there, Santa.
I mean, they've got prawn ice cream. They've got all sorts of insane concoctions. There's no rules in Iceland. Don't get me wrong, I'd much prefer to be at the Iceland party.
I would never get you wrong.
I'd rather be at the Iceland party because it's more down to earth.
Well,
the people in the M&S party are snotty.
They're snooty.
And snobby, and they're so up themselves.
You've got Stephen Fry standing in the corner delivering his crisps and
bonbon. He's probably drunk
out of his
mind. He's launched into a really long
on
joke.
On ginger wine, do a great big long anecdote.
Twiggy is bitter. She's bitter, bitterly cold, not personality-wise. She underdressed. She's bitterly cold.
Whereas at the Iceland party, you've got Jason Donovan, Jehan Donahan.
Yes, you've got Jane McDonald and the cast of Loose Women, and they're just much more relaxed.
Which party would Dylan go to?
Who are his celebrity friends in reality? Does he hang out with other famous people, Bob Dylan?
Alicia Keys!
Really?
He likes Alicia!
Well, he's probably at some Brooklyn hip-hop Christmas party then, isn't he? With heavy beats.
That's right!
Don't you think?
Pass the...
Because he's like a sort of rapper.
Courvoisier!
Exactly. He's sort of the first of the rappers.
Yeah.
But
he's Parappa the rapper.
Yeah, I liked him mentioning the Halifax radio station advert.
That was my favourite ad of the year.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Because
How can you tune into that radio station?
I wish I knew. I would like to download the podcast.
We should make our show a bit more like that, shouldn't we?
Oh, I've been trying to, but you are resisting. You are resisting.
And Jamie Oliver as well. He's got a big advert, hasn't he?
His perfect Christmas, though. Like, he went to go out... You know the perfect Christmas ads? He's setting
up
the perfect Christmas.
Well, you can win one, can't you?
You can win
the deal?
Well, by now someone has won the
perfect
Christmas.
Right, so your whole town or village can win a perfect Christmas, which seems to involve Jamie Oliver and a film crew turning up and blowing artificial foam snow
yeah.
all up in your
what
house.
What happens, because the weather's been all over the shop, we're pre-recording this show, I don't know if it is actually snowy this Christmas day where you are, listeners, but it has been very snowy over the last few weeks. What happens if Christmas Day turns out to be another blizzard? Do they still spray, or do they clear the snow away for you?
No, they would spray the foam snow on top of the real snow.
The real snow.
Because, it doesn't melt. It's less dirty.
Yeah.
But I'd like to hear from the person that won that competition, because presumably that was awful.
It was absolutely rubbish. And then you're standing out there trying to get fake snow out of your mouth, watching kind of a bad projection of the snowman on someone's house.
Does Oliver turn up? Is he part of the... Does he turn up and cook for you?
Yeah, I would say.
Do you think he's happy about that? Or is it a little bit of social, sort of forced bonhomie?
I imagine they're paying him. It's probably okay.
We'd like to hear from you if you won Jamie's Christmas. Maybe it was fantastic.
I'm a funny person. I often make up jokes. My jokes are more amusing than those of other folks. When you hear my joke, I think you'll find that you agree. Come on, you're all invited to a made-up joke party.
And can there be a bigger made-up joke party than Christmas Day? I mean, that's where all the unloved jokes like Little Orphans go, is crackers, of course.
Who makes them up, the jokes in crackers?
Well, funnily enough...
Is there a sort of standard text, do you think? Do they all come from the same source? Because they're kind of timeless. You don't find contemporary gags, do you?
No, they never seem to change
they're
very much
old.
At all. Yeah. In fact, it seems to be a kind of unspoken agreement amongst the community of the world that they'll never actually improve very
Who
much at all.
Who were crackers invented by?
Ah, well, that's an interesting question.
Sarah Cracknell.
Yes.
Yes. From the band St. Etienne.
Yeah, she invented them.
Really, when she cracked one off...
Yeah.
And one of the other members of St. Etienne trapped it in a glass.
That's not the expression. Are you trying to say farted? That's cracked one off is a different thing.
Oh, is it? Well, yeah, and I know.
Sarah cracked
one off. Anyway, she cracked
that.
One off and he trapped it in a glass. And one of the other members of St. Etienne,
Bob Stanley,
caught it in an old toilet roll. That he had nearby,
right.
Trapped it.
Here we go.
And he wrapped it in coloured paper as a stinky surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It happens.
And that is how crackers were invented.
That would be dangerous, though, if you really did it that way, because the little cracker strip inside could ignite that gas.
That's true.
There'd be a little explosion.
That would be a good twist for crackers.
Although
for crackers.
Maybe that's how the explosion works, how it's powered. Anyway, listen, we're getting off the subject. We've got a few made-up jokes from listeners to this programme that have been tweeted and texted in. Do you want to start this one, Joe?
Sure, yeah, we've been canvassing made-up jokes. And, of course, the criteria here is that they've got to be authored. And we've become pretty good at kind of fishing out the ones that we think have been written by someone else. But as a result, some of these can be pretty demented, right? And the list we got in front of us here reaches new levels of dementia. Have you looked through them, Adam?
I've seen a couple of them, but I'm coming to these more or less cold.
Okay.
Like the weather.
Here's one from Stephen Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Why was the Welsh pigeon who lives in a hive disappointed that the festive season was over?
I don't know.
I wish it could be Christmas every day. So let's break that one down. Welsh pigeon, die.
That's a Welsh name.
Who lives in a hive? Pigeon. There we go. Could, and that's it.
What? Who? How is wish and lives in a hive connected?
Why was the Welsh pigeon who lives in a hive disappointed that the festive season was over? I wish it could be. Yeah.
That's absolutely...
That's three different things there into one line from a famous song. That's clever, isn't it? He could have put die again at the end. Die wish it could be Christmas every die.
Die. Nice job there, Stephen. Congratulations. Here's one from Slab Squat Thrust. That's a good name, Slab Squat Thrust. I mean, that's the kind of name that I would name a son of mine or something.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get... if you cross James Bond and an After Eight, a mint spy.
Now, I don't even understand that one.
What? How? What's not
a
to understand?
A mint spy.
A mince pie.
Oh, now I understand it.
Yeah. Like, a mince pie is a Christmassy thing. A mint and a spy. A mince
That's
pie.
That's quite good, isn't it? Can that be made up?
Yeah. I mean, that's a brilliant Christmas joke as well. Thanks, Slab Squat Thrust.
How about this one from Steve Wells? What did Jonah Louie... This is for maybe older listeners who can remember Christmas number ones from the past. What did Jonah Louie say when he turned vegetarian at Christmas? Stop the carvery.
That's good. That's a good Six Music joke.
Good Six Music joke.
Because, you know, he's an artist. I mean, everyone will know that song. That's a classic song.
Here's one from Grant Solo. Hey, I'm going on holiday to Narnia this Christmas. I booked it at a well-known travel agent, Tumnus Cook. That's a character from Narnia, Tumnus.
Yeah, huh?
Thomas sounds like Thomas.
That's right.
Sounds like Thomas!
Oh.
Getting aggressive.
Getting very aggressive on Christmas
just
Day.
Just trying to fill the blank void with some sort of emotion.
That's what I'm trying to do with my life, too.
Sorry. Oh, this is from Song Warmonger as well. Have we already read out one by Song Warmonger?
No, not yet.
Okay, Song Warmonger says, what is the Three Kings and Shepherds' favourite song? I repeat, what is the Three Kings and Shepherds' favourite song? Manger Zone by Kenny Boggins. Now, Song Warmonger has... I'm going into analysis very quickly fill the silence.
Absolutely.
Song Warmonger has included Boggins in there.
Mm-hmm.
For us, Kenny Loggins, Boggins. Manger Zone, of course, sounding like Danger Zone.
Yeah.
That's a single letter replacement, which is an acceptable criteria for a joke, statistically. I mean, swapped and removed letters from Boggins and swapped one word from Danger Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Failed to really preface or foreshadow Kenny Loggins in the setup line.
Oh, gosh, I stopped listening.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, that's where you made your mistake. Because now you can't follow what I'm saying.
No, I absolutely stopped.
Yeah. I'm just giving Song Warmonger some tips for next year. If he or she had included some aspect of Loggins
still explaining it.
In the setup line, the punchline would have worked a bit better.
Outside my tiny little cafe in Paris, you'll find two men called Adam and Joe. All day they sit just talking away. Sometimes I listen and hear what they say. Blah 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 waffles. Blah 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 pancakes. They're making a podcast apparently. It sounds like a load of old crap to me. Oh, I am making the joke.
Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, folks. We've pretty much come to the end of our Christmassy show today.
But thanks for joining us, listeners. We've had a lovely time this morning here in our little shack outside the castle. It's time to wee on the fire and clear up all the rubbish and just drink more, I think.
Are you good at clearing up as you go in your house during Christmas? Because there's a lot
We recycle, and I will spend a lot of time tearing the tape off the edges of the wrapping paper so it can be fully recycled.
Good for you.
And I may well be opening presents with wrapping paper that I remember from up to 10 or 11 years ago.
And are you quite frugal when you're doing your wrapping?
Am I frugal? With paper?
Yes, with paper.
Paper? I don't overwrap. I mean, it's a terrible waste, Adam.
It's a terrible waste!
Do you know about trees?
I do know about trees.
There's not many of them left.
I love my wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's the best.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just great in many ways.
Uh-huh.
She overwraps.
Does she?
Like, by twice as much sometimes.
I loathe your wife. And she's destroying the planet.
Well, exactly. She's single-handedly destroying the planet. And the thing is that when I try and say, because I get very antsy, when I see her doing it, I'm like, do you want me to wrap that? I can probably do that if you want.
Do you use that voice?
Yes, I do.
Darling,
do you want me to wrap that? I could do it if you want. I love you. She doesn't like it. She just goes, oh, just stop nagging, will you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She doesn't like it. And I'm like, I'm not really nagging. I'm trying to save the human race.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to do.
Well, that's disgusting, and she should be stopped. She'll probably be stopped by some sort of legislation.
And the other thing is that, you know, I've gone out and I bought those bracelets, those tape bracelets. You know what I'm talking about? It's a little tape dispenser mounted on a springy...
Really?
What are you laughing like that for? It's a brilliant idea.
That's good. A tape-mounted wristwatch kind of thing.
It's a tape, wrist-mounted tape dispenser, and it dispenses small strips of tape, which are all you need to do the job. Yep. Maybe three or four strips per bracelet. Is all you need.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's got the
massive role. She's just tearing out great long hunks of the stuff. Sometimes she'll leave it twisting so it gets all twisted on itself. So she thinks, ah, oh, she discards that one, pulls out another great long bit, wraps it all around.
She needs to be taught a lesson.
Who's going to teach her?
If she was in a chapter of some Roald Dahl, you know, Tales of the Unexpected.
Oh, yeah.
There'd be some twist.
Well, she'd end up getting wrapped up herself, wouldn't she?
She'd get tangled up and wrapped up.
So, yeah.
And then she'd be ripped open by lots of little devil children and they'd pull her limb from limb.
Whoa, whoa.
Hey, what?
That's my wife you're talking about. It's Christmas.
I know, she's
Day.
Lovely. She's lovely. She's absolutely wonderful.
She is. She's the best.
So on that image, a woman wrapped in Christmas paper being pulled limb from limb by tiny satanic children. We bear thee farewell.
We bear thee farewell. We feather bed thee.
That was the end of the so-called highlights from this week's Six Music Radio Show. Now there's just a little time left for one final linky from the two baboon men that you call Adam and Joe.
There you go, folks. That's the end of the podcast. We're just going to say a very quick goodbye. One weird thing that has happened to me, while we were doing that show, is all the hard work I did on my body throughout the year is just gone.
And I noticed.
My beard grew.
I noticed.
And my stomach kind of distended.
You've got to really keep it up, haven't you? Otherwise, it's really
ludicrous.
Goes quickly.
3 hours out of the gym, and suddenly I'm just back to square one.
Well, there's a lesson to be learned there.
Sweet. What is the lesson?
Just keep
exercising.
Stay
in the gym.
Stay in the gym.
For God's
Live in
sake.
The gym.
For God's sake, stay in the gym.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
Thank you so much for listening. We're so sorry that we haven't been with you more this year, listeners. We really miss you guys, and we very much hope we'll be seeing more of you in 2011. We can't give you an exact date for when we'll return, but...
And we should draw attention to a sort of...
A farrago,
a sort of ill-considered... aside that was dropped during our Christmas video on the Adam and Joe website.
Yeah, we made a little video on the website and people assumed that some
and
of the
you
things...
used the words for the last time.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't you?
Well, it was only accident. I didn't mean it was going to be the last thing we ever do.
Yeah. So we will be back here on BBC Six Music. It's just a question of figuring out exactly when, right?
Yeah, my schedule is very busy. Joe's not really doing anything this time at the moment. He's twiddling his thumbs. But I've got a lot of exciting irons in the fire and... When I figure out where those irons are going to go, then hopefully we'll be back.
Right. And just watch the, if you care or interested, just watch the Adam and Joe website here at Six Music. And we'll announce as soon as we come back. But we're very much looking forward to it in the new year, right?
Yeah, have a great one, listeners. Enjoy the rest of your Christmas here on Six Music. Stick around for Richard Hawley, don't forget. And have a wonderful 2011.
Thanks, listeners. Merry Christmas.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
BBC Six Music Podcasts.
If you liked Adam and Joe, why not try Jarvis Cocker's Six Music Show, Sundays from 4.
Six Music. Six Music.
Kind of busy, yes, easy. Ooh, look at me. Would you like a text? Ooh, tweet.
What would your dad make of Lady Gaga?
I think he would want to find her and...
destroy her.
Throttle her.
Well, I'm not going to hold him back. Should we have a little... It's not a very nice sentiment
that
for Christmas, is it?
That is not for Christmas. No,
we wish not at all.
Peace and goodwill to all men and Lady Gaga.